This podcast series is brought to you by Elekanyani Ndlovu. For more details, visit elendlovu.com.
My name is Elekanyani Ndlovu and welcome to Womanifesto. Womanifesto is about educating one another through conversation, asking difficult questions and engaging our experiences holistically. It's about challenging each other to grow, to innovate, to think and move in ways that will impact people positively, where we do not shy away from the holistic experience of being a woman, and we deal with that which is tender and difficult, as well as that which is exciting and beautiful. It is a weekly podcast where sometimes I will share my thoughts, experiences, and insights, and other times I will invite female leaders from different spaces to share their stories and create our narrative. Our topics will follow the breadth and the depth of our complexity. I invite you to share your thoughts on what you would like to engage on and what you would like to talk about. So please visit elendlovu.com and leave your thoughts there, or you can email me on womanifesto@elendlovu.com. This week, I will be sharing my experience on the journey of creating the podcast. It took 4 years to record my first podcast. So I suppose the holistic experience of being a woman also includes setting goals for yourself and taking forever to achieve them or never achieve them at all. Womanifesto is just one of those goals. It is one of my delayed goals, and I had to spend a lot of time figuring out where I got stuck and what tripped me up and reflecting on that. So let me share where it all started. A few years ago, say 8 years ago, it started bothering me that I do not have a hobby. Other people go mountain biking or hiking or run or sing even. And it just really bugged me that I don't have a hobby. To add to that, this parable from the Bible around this master who leaves his servants with talents, and then when he comes back, the one servant has multiplied the talent and the other servant has buried it, started also just weighing heavily on me, because I kept thinking, if I died tomorrow and God asked me, what did you do with your talent? I'm likely to be worse off than the guy who buried the talent, because at least he knew he had it. I don't even actually know what my gift is and what my talent is, and therefore how to use it to multiply or how to serve. And it really bugged me, because I'm like, I'm a 30 something year old woman. I'm doing great. Life is good. But fundamentally, I don't have a handle on what it is I'm intentionally putting out to the world to actually serve it, express myself through that gift. And so the journey to discover my gift started. It really was about finding something outside of my work, because at that time my career was going well. I was comfortable that I can do stuff and I'm good at something, but there was this nagging feeling that it's not intentional and it's not for a purpose. It is simply because I can be an engineer. I'm an engineer and I can do this. I read a lot, and along the way, I recognized reading as a hobby, which saved some of the grief I was feeling around not having a hobby. So through all this reading, I realized there's a systematic way I can work out what my gift is, and I can have a structured way to express that. And I spoke to friends, I spoke to family, I spoke to mentors, until I established that my gifting is around talking. I enjoy it. It comes naturally. I have no fear of public speaking. It energizes me. It excites me. And in some way, I think it forms the basis of why I love teaching. The excitement after all the surveys, the questioning, the listening to myself, listening to my energies, I did it all. And the excitement of pinning it down was incredible. Through this process of self-discovery, I end up engaging with two young ladies. They were introduced to me by a mentor I had been talking to about how to express this gifting. I met Mukondi and Nkhabi from Think Creative Africa, and through that engagement with them, the podcast was conceived. I was so happy. I told my friends, I told my family, I'm going to do a podcast. I have a podcast. We came up with the name, we branded it, put together the website, everything. We did it. And then 4 years later, there was still no recording. I was so energized and so excited that the website went live. It had "coming soon" on it, waiting for the first episode. It was so serious that this podcast was going to happen that on my Twitter account, I introduced myself as mom, wife, businesswoman, engineer, keynote speaker, and podcast host. That was way back in 2016, and now it's 2020, and the first episode went out on the 9th of August. So, what went wrong? I really had to answer this question for myself. Upon reflection, I realized that three things happened. One, substitution. Two, fear. Three, being stuck in the middle. Substitution, or what psychologists refer to as social reality, is when your mind tricks you to think that something is done when it's actually not done. There are studies that show that talking about your goal can actually give you the same feeling of satisfaction that you get when you've done or achieved your goal, that your mind actually starts believing that you've done and achieved the goal, and therefore you're less motivated to actually do anything about it. I think that's what I suffered from. There's a TED Talk by Derek Sivers titled "Keep Your Goals to Yourself" that explains this phenomenon. I also believed I experienced fear. A friend of mine asked me, "What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of failing publicly? And therefore that could explain why you have been stuck with this." And when I processed it, I realized I was not afraid of failing. I just didn't know how to explain it until I realized that in Hebrew, the word fear has two meanings. The one meaning referring to the irrational fear, the fear of projected or imagined things. The other meaning of fear is the fear from the feeling that overcomes us when we suddenly come into possession of more energy than we did before. When I read this in a book by Tara Moore, I could finally label it. This is something I was suffering from because I had just figured out what it is I can do to express myself and contribute to the world. I had way more energy than I had had before, and I think I just didn't know what to do with it. I also think I got stuck in the middle of control and surrender. I spent a lot of time figuring out how to record, how to edit recordings. The one time I tried to get help, it didn't work out, so I gave up on that idea. The friend of mine who asked me if I was afraid and therefore that could be the reason why I'm stuck also said to me, "You know, you don't have to do this by yourself. You can get assistance and get help." After all the processing, I realized I figured out where I was getting stuck. And I knew that if I didn't do something about this goal, I will stop trusting myself, and I didn't want that to happen. So what changed? I stopped talking about the podcast like it's already happened just because the website was up. And I actually started to talk about how I get it done and how much time I will need to get it done. And in fact, I just talked about it less to my friends. And I suppose 4 years down the line, it's a bit finished, so there wasn't much to really talk about. I didn't say anything until the first episode was recorded, it was loaded on the website, and only then did I publish that the first episode is out, and only then did I share with friends and family that the episode is done. So I talked less and did more. I also took the time out to acknowledge the gifting, to not be afraid of what it is, but to let it be what it is. And that's a journey I'm on. I actually still don't understand that or have unpacked that. But instead of being afraid, I have chosen to step into it and own it and move with it and see what happens and what comes out of it. instead of being stuck controlling everything, I asked for help. And when I committed that I really want to publish the first episode on Women's Day, it's amazing that once you commit, provision comes, because I got the help I needed. I have help from Courtney and Sipo, where Courtney helps me to organize my thoughts and Sipo helps with the production element of the podcast. So despite everything, what kept the dream alive? And I think what kept the dream alive is having the right conversations with my husband and my friends. It helped me unpack why I was stuck. I also think that the goal stayed alive because I was feeling why I wanted to do this. I'm full of words and I ponder on things a lot. But with this project, I felt it. I felt what it could be. I can't articulate it as full of words as I am, but I feel it. That feeling was actually heightened a few years ago when I was listening to Maschaba Ndlovu. Maschaba was interviewing a woman called Kensani. It turned out that Maschaba had gone to go buy meat in Southgate at a place called Sheds, and I think her husband or someone picked up this acha and they bought it and took it home. She got to taste this acha and it changed her life. That's what she said on radio. There was a number on this tab that she looked at it and thought, I need to tell this person that this acha is just so delicious. And she called her to tell her that the acha did the things. Next thing, Kensani was in studio being interviewed and I was listening to this interview. The way that Kensani spoke about her acha, I could feel the love. I could feel the amount of work she puts into it. I remember at the end, as she was telling her story, she was like, you know, my acha ya tsokombela. That is Tsonga for my acha is delicious. And listening to her, I believed her. I believed her so much that I went to go find this acha. And true to form, the acha ya tsokombela. That's the acha we eat today. My friends, my family, everybody knows. I drive to the south to go buy Kensani's acha. Kensi for sure. The story about acha kept the podcast alive for me because it wasn't about the acha, right? It was about a woman who has found a way to express her gifts and to make that serve people. I reflected on that story for years, and I still feel the energy that Kensani carried as she shared her story. And I remember how I felt and thought about my own work, my craft. It's made me look at how I relate to my work and my craft, how I've thought better about things after listening to her. As I took all of that in, I knew that that is what I wanted to do with the podcast, to share stories of acha or boardrooms or whatever makes us the different but contributing women we are, with the hope that each story will move some person somewhere to take a good look at their own space and be energized to do something, to find their own acha and to share it with the world. We all have goals, we all have dreams. And what I can share from the journey I've had for the past few years is that find your own acha. And once you found your own acha, don't talk about it like you've already made it. Avoid substitution. Someone will drive from the north to the south to come find your acha. So don't let fear stop you, whether it's irrational fear, the fear of the possibility of doing something great. Don't let that stop you. Don't get stuck in the middle of doing everything for yourself and teasing the idea of asking for help. Ask for help. Get the right people on your team. I will be carrying these insights with me with each episode. I will not substitute each episode by talking about it before I've recorded it. I will not be afraid of the possibility of what this can be. And definitely, I will keep the team I have, and if we need to grow it, we will, so that we get this done. For those with delayed goals, you're not alone, and it can be done. Take the time out to figure out what's getting you stuck. With that, I wish us all happy journeys, finding and making our own arches. Next week, we take an educational spin. It turns out, since the lockdown, cybercrimes against women have increased 100%. So I will be talking to a female leader in the cybersecurity industry. Since the lockdown, our online activities have increased. Next week's discussion will break down cybersecurity concepts to educate us and raise awareness for online safety, both in our homes and our businesses. If you are a woman who has online activities, a mom with children that are online, an executive in your organization, or a board member, this discussion on digital resilience is for you. I would love to hear from you. Please share your thoughts, ideas, and experiences with me on ellendlovu.com or send an email to womanifesto@ellendlovu.com. Until next week, thank you and God bless.